Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 284, part 2, the conclusion to Promise 6. Today is Sunday, March 24th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
One man, he's been taking hundreds of dollars of stuff out of this church all the time. I get in a lot and he takes it. Sure, you can have that. Sure, you can have this. Sure, you can have that. Well, a guy came up and he had a big truckload of rolls. So the guy went over and started taking the rolls. I said, you can't take off the back of the truck. I'll have the whole neighborhood taking off the back of the truck and we'll start another mission up the block and so on like that. Have to come into the church to get them. Keep the rolls! What happened? You can give people dollar after dollar after dollar after hundreds and invest your whole life in them. But the one moment that you deny them a penny, you have got yourself an enemy that you would not believe. Isn't that awful? When we don't understand order, when we don't have order, folks, we got disorder. Just think if everybody... Rolls are, oh, what's that? Audie Murphy's got the certain kind of sausages, isn't it? Something like that. And they all run over there and step on Audie Murphy and whatever his name is. What happened to Audie? I don't know. I got my sausage is all I care about. Isn't that terrible? Think about it. You're going to have that, aren't you? And the guy down the line yesterday, man, he was just a demon. He was so mad and raving at me, I didn't even know what he was talking about. Why are you so mean to me? I thought, well, this is a demon speaking right out of this guy. I got a bent esophagus. I look healthy, but my esophagus is bent. I got a club foot. My back is bad. I went through his whole medical history. Why are we like that? Oh, you legalists. I hope you're listening. I hope you get mad about it too. Check out what you've done. Check it out on your own families. Now, your family isn't going to agree with everything you do. Especially if you'll stand on a promise. They're not going to go along with you all the time. All I ask is that they don't shoot me. Do me that favor. Don't push me off with a promise. But what have you done to your own families by your undedicated, looking for an excuse efforts, looking for some way of getting out of things I'm talking about, your unlove, which will bring you unbelief, which will bring you from unbelief to no faith, and from no faith to no promise. What kind of a pattern are you setting for your families? What will they see when you're gone? Probably nothing. But let me tell you something, folks, if you're listening on the radio and you're faithful to stand on a promise and none of your family goes along with you, at least somewhere along the line they're going to say, you know something? That old dog really stands on a promise. Or that old gal or whatever. What kind of a pattern are we setting? Could it be, legalist, that you have not received the promise yet? Now, you're always talking about the grace people. They're not really saved. They got one guy even said, people have a sort of a greasy grace. I said, I would be afraid to say something like that. Are you sure that you're saved? Now, let's turn it around here. Are you sure that you have received the promise? When all you can preach is death, like Job's friends? And oh, if your families are miserable and you hold them dear, well, what are you going to do with the whores and the drunks and the lost? See, you have nothing to share but your unbelief. That's not a promise. You're sharing your unbelief. And furthermore, those who have not received the promise, the Ishmaels, the elder, felder sons, you don't know it's deep grace. You're just that shallow, building on the sand type of Christian, if you are a Christian. You don't know it's deep grace. And I believe you are as shallow as a parrot shouting, caw, 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 judgment, judgment, judgment. Probably you have been self-taught. Maybe an old crabby aunt got you started. Maybe it was some other crab, one of the bowl haircut crowd. I don't know. Maybe you've been self-taught by the school of parrotology. You just parrot what other people have said. And all you know is judgment, judgment, judgment. Well, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. I think the Bible says, and I think it's very true right now, as true as it's ever been, of course, but now we have more news media and papers and TV and radios and like that, and more people. There are many sick amongst us. Isn't that sick to tear one another down? Isn't that the sickest of the sick? Even in the body of Christ, the Bible says there are many sick amongst us. Isn't that sick? I mean, the world is looking at this and they're saying, man, these guys are all sick. Now, Congress, they look at that and they say, man, isn't that sick? I can just hear the Russians right now. Rushka, tushka, nushka, we'd like to have a North on our side. And the red Chinese? Ching chong, 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 ching chong, chong, ching chong. Woo, come over here. Take a slow boat to China. Huh? Isn't that sick? Oh, that is so sick. Isn't that sick telling the born again they are unborn again? Oh, how unjust the legalists are. They know nothing of the trials, nothing of sorrows. They know nothing of temptations of those around them. They know nothing of the pillows that are wet with tears. Tears of the life of tragedies. You never know what's behind a person's smile. Of the secret cares and the secret struggles. Let us not dare to add to the burden of another the pain of our judgment. And so then we take, well, how many think this person's innocent? And how many think this person is guilty? And then we take all these polls. That's judging too. Okay, everybody, put your hands up. Aren't you glad that we're not judged by people when it comes to salvation? Why, everybody would go to hell. Everybody would go tubes. I think if we guard our lips from expressing, I think we must control our mind. We must stop this continual sitting in judgment on the acts of others. Even in private. Because the Bible says what we confess, we become. That's how you're saved. What we, in other words, and here's a scripture, legalist, here's another one. What we sow, we also reap. In like manner that we judge someone, we'll be judged the same ourselves. Oh, my. I think we ought to daily, by exercise our self-control. Learn to turn off the process of judging. That's a due process of law. Just like you turn off the gas when you... You know why they put this smellant, let's call it, in the gas? The natural gas? So that you'll smell it. Turn off that judging just like you would a stinky gas pipe. And I was so tempted to say to this man that was raging about the bent esophagus and the, you know, club foot and the bad back and, oh, why don't you wait on me for... I was so... tempted to say, well, one thing that's working real well on you is your mouth. There is positively nothing wrong with it at all. But I couldn't judge. Although I did tell him to shut up. I says, you're upsetting everybody here. Shut up. Yeah, turn off the gas before it blows up. See, we can blow everything out of proportion. We get in there with our gassy mouths and we start judging, and we're going to cause a blow up. Let us eliminate the pride and passion and personal feelings and prejudices and pettinesses from our mind. And let the higher, purer emotions, let them rush in. Just like air seeks to fill up a vacuum. Because love, you see, is not a formula, and I'm closing. It's an atmosphere. You can feel it. You can feel it. You go into a place where there's love, you can feel it. You go into a place where someone's got that sort of a next feeling. You go into a place where someone is stirring the soup like this, like an agitator. Or tastes the soup and then throws the soup over the spoon over in the corner. Don't eat there. Where the attitude is it worth it? No, it's an atmosphere. People can feel it. Let us cultivate love in judging. And love will overcome that. It'll smooth it out. You'll judge according to yourself, and that'll take care of it. Let us seek to draw out the latent good in others, rather than to discover the hidden evil. Aren't we good at seeking it out? We're almost like the hat on backwards and the pipe in the face and the lapel kind of coat on, the Sherlock Holmes.
We'll say, Watson.
Huh? We have our little sidekick with us.
Watson.
We go seeking out evil. If you're going to be a judge, be a good judge. Now, how do you judge the prostitute and the bum and the different races? The Bible says don't even judge yourself. Now, I think it takes the eye of love to see the undeveloped butterfly in the caterpillar. Now, I believe we should see people before they are according to the promise. See no man after the flesh, the Bible says. See no man after the caterpillar. See him as a butterfly. And I think we should learn how to recognize the revelations of reserve power. Everybody's got reserve power in them. Every individual is a marvel of unknown, unrealized possibilities. Whew. Let us not judge. Let us share the promises so those hidden characteristics in the person will surface. 9/10, after all, of the iceberg is underwater. 9/10 of the possibilities of good and evil of the individual are hidden from sight anyway, aren't they? I believe a prayer that says, let us see ourselves as others see us, is weak. The answer could only minister to man's vanity. And a guy called me and gave me that. I said, well, that can only answer to man's vanity. It would show him only what others think him to be, not what he is. We should pray to see ourselves as we are. Oh, that would stop judging. Like now. Like immediately. Like a 6,000-foot drop. But you know what? No man could ever face it. No, you couldn't face it. How many would be afraid to pray that way? I would. What if the answer came out loud? You ask and you shall receive. This is like you really are. This is your life, your hidden life from others. For all people to hear. Isn't that what we're doing right now on TV? Now I want you to listen to something I think will be an encouragement to you. And listen real carefully. Are you listening? Get real close up to the radio. Stop sucking on that Pepsi. Lay down that Frito-Lay potato chips. And listen. You here today, move to the edge of your seats. I'm going to share something with you. Something I've learned. I believe no man could face the radiant revelation of the latent power and forces within himself. Underlying the weak, narrow life he is living, there is a greatness in all of us that hasn't even come to the surface yet. I think he would be blinded and prostrate like Moses before the burning bush if he could really see the revelations of what God sees in him besides what the outward is manifesting, what we call the person's character. See, because folks, we're not puppets that move only by pulled strings. We are not records that only play certain tunes on music boxes. I believe we are the human hearts and harps with the infinite possibilities of unawakened music. I believe God would probably sing to you if he was looking at you right now today. I don't care if you're sitting in St. Peter. Mostly in St. Peter in there because of fear. I don't care if you're sitting in Stillwater or San Quentin or wherever. God's looking at you right now. I don't care if you're a prostitute. You just have to turn this on. It doesn't matter. I believe God would be singing, "You are so wonderful to me. You are so wonderful to me." God really knows the character that's in there. It hasn't been developed yet. It hasn't come forth yet. Probably because we are not living on the promises. And I'm not talking for self-gratification. I'm talking about the promises. I'm talking about the untold revelations of nature. Nature has that reserve power. Look at nature. It has reserve power. Right now, everything was drying up. Well, it got just so dry. And then the rains came. Nature only gives when it has to give, and it gives just the right amount. You look at them vegetables and things we're getting, carrots and onions and cauliflower and cabbages and all of those things that nature has grown. What a perfect balance. Even though we spray and with our insecticides and we just totally just about destroy everything. And yet nature just gives what she has to give for that moment, what's needed. No more, no less. And when new needs arise, nature always meets them by her what? Reserve power? After all, nature is God. God's nature is to give you just exactly what you need, no more. Just enough manna for that day. Give us this day our daily bread, our daily manna. Even the animals reveal. I was watching this Wild, Wild Kingdom. They don't have that anymore. There's another animal show on. I love those animal shows and insect shows and things like that. I just love to watch those things. I want to get some of them tapes. You can get them of this animal kingdoms and all these different things. They're just fabulous, I think. But anyway, you put these animals in darkness and they adopt their senses to smell and touch and hearing. In the desert, The lion and the camel and the desert antelopes are all sand-colored. In the forest, the birds are like parrots. They're green and different kind of colors. It showed some pictures a way back. I think it was in the 20s or something, and somebody had, prior to that, a few years prior to that, had taken over like four or five sets of rabbits. Three pairs, I think it was, of rabbits were introduced to, was it Austria? Australia? And then years later, there were millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of them. Ah, they just overran everything. Praise God that rabbits don't really lay Easter eggs. They were all over the place. And so they put up these high fences all over, and they stopped him for a while. But you know what those rabbits did? They developed a long nail so they could claw up on the fence and get themselves, and they push with one, on just the one foot, and they push with one paw and hook with the other, push and hook, push and hook, and they got over the top. They learned to adapt. And on a rabbit, there's everything wants to kill a lamb, but they've learned how to adapt. Well, I don't know how many times they breed every year, but I mean, you can get 100 rabbits out of just one set, can't you? I don't know. Isn't that true? That they can just multiply. And they had this hook, and they overcame by push, hook, or hook, push, whatever. They get over the top. Isn't nature wonderful? Reserve power, vitalized, I believe, from latent, laying down inside someplace, latent possibilities. I have found within myself God-given latent possibilities to overcome during certain trials. And I know there's more down in there. I'm going for it. Every one of us has that. Nature will give it to you when you most need it. See, the rabbits didn't accept their condition, but in their struggle to live, they learned how to live. Hey, survival. Nature, I'm saying, has a reserve power. You are part of nature. You have a reserve power. Then on this show, they had these flowers. And it said the wild rose has a single and only a single corolla. But when it was cultivated in a rich soil, it changes itself into a magnificent cabbage rose. And that the banana was once a tropical lily. And the peach was a bitter, poisonous almond. Hey, we have reserve power. We have promises. Don't rest on what you are. You don't know what you can do until you start standing on the promises of God. But remember, the full measure of your final attainment can never be told in advance. Have you failed, you listening on the radio? Is your progress seem ever so slow, like you're hardly moving at all, a snail's pace or worse, like one of these animals? They crawl up trees and they move so slow. What do they call them? Slobs? Yeah. They crawl real, real slow. I heard you. I just said that. Slugs. Have you failed? Is your progress ever so slow? Well, the world's greatest men were failures. In some line, they were failures. All along the way, they had failures. A woman called me up the other day and she was beside herself. She says, "Here I am, a seasoned secretary with years and years of experience, types like 100 and some words a minute, can go in and completely take over an office. I mean, give me what you're doing here. Give me your schedules and, you know, your production, and give me the whole works." A very capable girl. She says, "I don't know. Am I too capable or what? I can't get a job. I go out and I get a job and it doesn't pay enough and I can't make it. What am I going to do? I'm at a point right now where I could be in China, Minneapolis, or here. I have nothing. What do you think I should do? Can you send me some money?" I said, "Sure, I can send you some money. What do you think I should go?" And there was a beautiful situation waiting. "Do you think I should go up the coast?" I said, "Yeah." "What if it's a mistake?" I said, "Go ahead and make one. You haven't got nothing where you're at. And maybe as you're going, you'll find out where you're going. But get your mind off of everything right now and just go." And, you know, it's wonderful how you can send money now. You can go down to the Western Union. You just put the person's name on there and all the computers like all over the United States have that person's name on there. And they can go into wherever they're at and get that money. And so that person is on their way. Is it a mistake? I don't know. But I do know it brought peace. And I do know that somewhere down inside, if we just have people to grab a hold, I says, grab a hold of the promise right now. Grab a hold of the promise. Be doing the Lord's work on the way up there. I mean, you know, just go. And so people were failures many times before failure was crowned success. Edison, Marconi, Bell, all of them. The old Norseman in one of these shows believed when he killed an enemy, their power entered into them. And I thought, you know, that's kind of true of character. We conquer a passion, we conquer a thought, we conquer a feeling, we conquer a desire. And as we rise superior to some impulse, the strength of that victory, no matter how trifling it may be, is stirred up as a reserve power for us in an hour of our need. Oh, suffering is so wonderful for that reason. Barely making it is so wonderful for that reason, because you've learned how to stand on the promise, hallelujah. You've learned to look ahead of that thing and say yes, and you've learned for others to not see them as you see them, but see them as God sees them. I think if we were to show someone the full chart of his future, his trials and sorrows and afflictions and losses and sicknesses and loneliness, and ask him before it all happened if he could bear it, he would say, "No, I could not bear all that and live." But you know what? He can and he does. When the hopes in which he staked all of his future turn into air, as he nears them, they just sort of disappear in front of him. What's happening? What's going on? Have you ever said that? What is going on? And everything you've hoped and planned and done your life's work for, it seems to dissipate into air. When friends whom he has trusted betray him, when the world grows cold towards him, when children sometimes, and I get calls from parents, "Oh, my child just disgraced me," or "My child just died." I went to a funeral where this mother had this little baby and it had crib death. And she said, can you come and do this funeral? And the father and the mother and all these people weren't even talking to this daughter. She was into this and into that and all of that. She was sitting there, you could just see her heart was breaking. She had all of this guilt. Was it my fault? Was it my fault? Was it my fault? That kind of thing. And then I was able to give her the promise. I says, don't go by the faces. And don't judge the faces. And don't go by your feelings. I says, right now, what you'll have to do, and I says, look right at me. Don't look down. Don't look down at the ground. Look at me. Look at me. I says, I have learned that we have to, when everything else dies, we have to believe in the promise. Here's a promise for you, honey. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Be a peacemaker. Cause peace over here to these hearts that are embittered because of the embarrassments that you've caused. Whew. Maybe you've been fired from a job. Hey, look it. Reserve power has been working over you, giving you strength even when you sleep. You go to bed that night and you have this terrible burden for this thing. Oh, man. And you wake up and you're refreshed. The whole day looks a little bit different. Who gave you that strength? Who gave you that kind of power on the inside? Who gave you that strength? God was working. God's nature was working within you. Those latent powers were released while you were sleeping. You know what? You can even surprise yourself. God, I made it through. Glory to God, I made it another day. I made it through. The deal went through. I made it. It's a miracle. See, if we are conscious of any weakness and desire to conquer it, we can force ourselves into positions where we must act in a way to strengthen ourselves through that very weakness. I had a young man and he was just tremendously afraid of people. And he says, I'm just afraid to walk into a room. Well, I said, hey, everybody is. Really? They go into the room, they kind of straighten their shoulders and they hear a bunch of voices in there and everything like that, you know, and everybody's dressed up, and maybe this is the first time they've dressed up, and they have to go into this large banquet hall that is so on like that, and they go in there. And I says, never think even the comedian doesn't stand behind that curtain and do his quivering. And he has to go in this room. I says, everybody's that way, but we are more than overcomers through Christ. I said, now you have a terrible fear. I said, we all have that, but we're more than overcomers. Do you ever feel that way when you had to go into a room and there's a lot of things going on? Well, sure, everybody does. I mean, you're more than an overcomer. I says, you have to do the thing. It's like flying. You're afraid of flying. Well, then get in the airplane. Hang on to the seat like you're on a tilt-a-whirl. Huh? And just go ahead and do that thing and overcome that fear. And he said, well, another thing I'd never do is get up and talk in front of people. I said, well, everybody has that fear. We all do. But we are more than overcomers through Christ who strengthens us. Now, come on up here. Oh, I mean, we're talking about total freezing. Until you can just get the words to come out. Now, breathe. Now, I breathe in. Breathe out. Now, if you can get the person breathing and he's alive, you can talk. Is you alive, young man? Yes. Say hi, folks. Now, folks, I want you to clap for him. They all clap. Well, that sounded kind of good to him. He's ministering. Sometimes we have to bring people to the promise, show them how to stand on a promise, and say we have the very same afflictions. But for the grace of God, we would be tongue-tied. I said, young man, you have to cut off your retreat. Burn your bridges behind you and all them laughing hyenas and demons. Maybe you want to quit some sin. Maybe you're listening on the radio right now. Confess it. Tell your friends you've been saved. Throw away your drugs. Throw away your smokes. Break your bottles. Receive the promise. Believe the promise. Give away the promise. Because you know why? That reserve power is like the manna given to the children of Israel in the wilderness. Only enough for one day, like I said. Only enough. Eat your daily grace cakes. Each successive, let's say, day has a new supply of strength. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow. Tomorrow will have power. Tomorrow, wait and see. God will give you power, and nature will give you power, and build up your power and your batteries. Sleep is so wonderful. It's the best of two things, isn't it? We're alive, and we're unconscious. Think about it. Think about God working it up, causing it all to come together while you sleep. And day by day, if you stand on that promise, it will be revealed. Don't give up. Because you know why? Today you may step over into victory. So many times you get right to the door of victory and turn around. Come on, you listening on the radio. I hear you even now. I can just feel your hearts right now. Grab a hold of the promise for your situation and hang on. God, it says, will take you through. Not over, not around, not under, but through. And what you don't understand will be revealed. You know what? And new strength will come day at a time, one day at a time, as you walk. Stop doubting and stop asking all them questions. You know what? God will show you. Stop asking why and ask God how. No matter what your line of life, no matter what your need is, we should all feel that somewhere within us, infinite, untried strength, untried possibility. And as we believe and do our best and stand on the promise, no, we can take credit for nothing really. Reserve power will show up like the Lone Ranger at the very last minute when the Indians are surrounding the covered wagons. Or vice versa. Call upon me in the time of trouble and I will answer. And what Jesus has spoken, by the way, folks, he will fulfill. Go by the promise. Don't go by what you see or what somebody looks like or whatever. Go by the promise. Give people the promise. No, I just hope every Ishmael will see himself and just see him as, let's shorten their name a little bit, the Ishies will see themselves and say, you know what, I don't know if I'm really saved. Look how mean I am. Look how judgmental I am. I wonder if I've really received, truly received the grace of God. And instead of reflecting upon the people of grace and saying they have greasy grace, I want, these people can't really be saved. They don't know what being saved is, and all the Bible thumping you can do, legalistic preacher, won't do you no good. The very way you've judged relatives and the very way you've judged people out there, and I don't care what vein of life they're in, the same judgment will come back to you. Love covers a multitude of sins. And aren't we glad in this old sick world that love covers? You're bought with a price, and so now you just go ahead and you go to work for the Lord. The best that is within you, the Bible says. Love one another the best that is within you. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? You can have him today.
There you have it. That was episode 284, part 2 of Promise 6. If you missed part 1, you can go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, show notes, and scripture links. Join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two. Next Friday's message, Promise 7. Have a great week. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve.
serve somebody.